to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Third and final hour now upon us. I'm your host, James Edwards, broadcasting from Dallas, Texas tonight. As we have made mention of twice before now, if my audio quality is not coming in as crisp and clearly as you are accustomed to, the reason for that is I am in a hotel room, broadcasting from a landline tonight rather than the studio equipment that we have at our comfy digs at AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship station. I'll be back home next week, but in the meantime, glad to be here with you at somewhat less than full strength, but better than not being here at all. I wouldn't miss the show for the world if I can help it. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Great show so far with Keith Alexander during the first hour, co-hosting with me as we went to the movies. Winston Smith doing the bulk of the work, the lion's share, if you will, as he interviewed Nathaniel Strickland of faithandheritage.com. As I have mentioned a couple of times this evening, I have a lot of news stories to bring to your attention as quickly as we can in a rapid-fire hour that's going to be here this third and final. But before we get to that, Winston tried to sneak in one more question to our featured guest of the night before the buzzer sounded. He didn't quite make it in time. So we've asked Nathaniel Strickland to stay over until the first segment of this hour so he can answer the question and wrap everything up with a nice, pretty ribbon. Nice, neat, and orderly. That's the way we OCDs like it here in the political cesspool. Winston, if you could re-ask the question to Nathaniel Strickland, the last one you asked in the second hour.
Sure. I'm just playing a little bit of devil's advocate with the about page at the Faith and Heritage website, which you can go to at faithandheritage.com, all one word, faithandheritage.com. And here's what I had asked you, Nathaniel. Let's see, where was it? We affirm the multinational, multiracial makeup of Christ Church. We further affirm that the nations and races themselves, let me start over with that. I'm doing a couple things at one time here. We affirm the multinational, multiracial makeup of Christ Church. We further affirm that the nations and the races themselves are individual expressions of providence, separated and cultivated by God to check the spread of evil and add to his glory, be preserved kind after kind in this world and eternally in the world to come. We affirm that all attempts to amalgamate humans into one mixed mass are an open rebellion against God's law and his sovereignly created boundaries. Now, Nathaniel, this sounds like you are embracing some sort of segregationism, and worse still, you are embracing some sort of segregationism within Christ's church. Is that what you're doing? Are you a segregationist?
I am a segregationist because God is a segregationist. God, the Christian God is a God of borders and boundaries. If you look at Deuteronomy 32 and Acts 17, it clearly states that the national boundaries and ethnic borders are God's creation. And when we try to break down these boundaries and borders, we are rebelling against God's natural order. When mankind tries to unify himself outside of the unity we'll find in heaven, he tries to unify himself here on this earth, it always turns into a rebellion against God all the way back to the Tower of Babel. The unity that we share as in Christ's church in the spiritual sense, and the unity you share as humans, possessing the image of God, does not logically follow that all physical boundaries have been erased. These boundaries are still in effect and will be in effect until Christ comes again, and even after that. Revelation specifically declares that we will come before God's throne as specific nations, tribes, and tongues. And so, yes, I'm a segregationist because God himself is a segregationist.
That is an excellent point upon which to end the interview. That is a superb answer. I hope people will listen to this interview in the archives and tell their friends about it. Nathaniel, That was a superb interview, informative, well thought out. And I want to, again, encourage folks to go to faithandheritage.com, faithandheritage.com. Nathaniel, thank you for coming with us and coming on the show in the first place. And thank you for staying over. We really appreciate it, and we wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. Like you said, I encourage everyone to visit the site. We put up new material every day or every other day, whether it be articles or posts on our blog. And I'd like to give a shout-out to my little brother listening to the show in South Carolina.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to having you on again pretty soon, Nathaniel. Thanks again.
Perspective. Very interesting perspective there from Nathaniel Strickland, once again, of faithandheritage.com. Hope you enjoyed the interview as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. And I want to, again, take the point of personal privilege to thank Winston Smith. With me being out of town and tending to birthdays and family obligations this week, I am relying heavily on Winston and Keith for the program tonight, and they have done a great job. That was a great interview. And very well done, Winston. Thank you for that. And I know you have got pressing affairs to tend to this evening as well. If you can, though, before you step out, I know during the last commercial break you came upon a pretty interesting article at CNN. We don't have enough time for you to go through the whole nuts and bolts of it, but just give folks a teaser. And I will also say that when I get back to Memphis tomorrow night, this will be something we blog about at thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Folks, you have got to go to CNN's website, and on the front page, down in the video section, where it says featured, there is a video that's titled, Whitest County Seeks Non-White, and it's about Marin County, California. And the video starts out saying that there's this woman, she's not a white woman, but she lives in Marin County, and she loves living there. She knows how nice it is, and it's one of the most desirable counties in the world, this report says. And then the report drops the bomb and says it's also one of the whitest counties in the world. And the report then goes on to say how that must be changed. And they're talking about how Marin County is in violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and how it is so terrible that this county is so darn white. This one woman says there's something wrong that her grandkids go to a school where there are only two blacks and four Latinos.
And
all over California, there are schools where there are maybe two white kids.
Yeah, well, Winston, it never dawned upon the reporter or the subject of the interview that the reason it's one of the most desirable counties is exactly because it's one of the most whitest counties, and when it loses its demographic makeup, it will become not so desirable. But I guess that never crossed her mind, right?
Oh, it did. It was a guy. I think, well, maybe it may have been part guy, part girl. I don't know. You know how San Francisco is. But folks, just go to CNN and look at it. Whitest county seeks non-white. It is a case study in the upside down nature of thinking today. This report does not even think.
Winston, hold it, buddy. Gotta go to a commercial. That's the teaser. We'll be back.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, I'm a real taskmaster, ladies and gentlemen. I like everything. You know, the train stops on time, right? The airplane takes off on time. I am very orderly, very obsessive, compulsive. I like everything to run like a Swiss watch. Commercial radio, it doesn't always work that way, particularly when I'm on the road as I am this evening. A lot of things I wanted to get to tonight. We're going to try to get to as much of it as possible. And if we don't get to it all, my work's half done for next week. That's all I can say. I do want to thank Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, and, of course, our guest for tonight, Nathaniel Strickland, for bringing their contributions to the show this evening. For the remainder of the program tonight, it's just going to be me and you. Well, and of course, our engineers in Memphis at 1380 and our producers out in Utah who are helping to make this show possible as I sit here talking on a landline in a hotel room in Texas. Do want to say this very quickly. Winston was bringing up a couple of stories there. You heard, of course, the lamentations of this the residents of the most desirable county to live in, or one of the most desirable counties to live in all of America, complaining that the racial makeup is too white. Never did it cross their minds that perhaps one of the reasons that their county is the most desirable in the country is because of its racial makeup. But instead, they're seeking to change that. So that's the story there at CNN. America's most desirable county is also its whitest county, but far being that being a compliment, that's meant to be an embarrassment. And then there's another story tonight up, posted at Yahoo.com, and it's scratching its head wondering why Detroit, Michigan, has lost over 25% of its population in recent years. I don't know about you. I could probably answer the why to that question fairly easily. But we're going to do. We're going to put these two articles together and come up with a blog posting at thepoliticalcesspool.org. When I get back home tomorrow night, maybe Monday morning, we'll get it up there. So check it out. A couple of interesting stories. You know, listen. You know, they're too scared to touch the racial angle on these stories. But we're not, and that's why we make constant headline news here on the Political Cesspool radio program. We're not afraid to tell the truth in love and to speak candidly and frankly about these issues. We're speaking, we're saying the kind of things that everyone realizes, but for whatever reason are too afraid to say publicly, or at least float the opinion that this might be something worth looking into. Well, we lay it all out there. Now, before I move on, I've got a guy on the phone, Rocky from Florida. He's been a Political Cesspool fan for six long years, nearly since the very beginning of our show, at least from the very beginning that we've been on the Internet. We started our Internet simulcast a few months after our initial broadcast. Rocky, welcome back to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Cool, man. It's been 6 years. I think I started in 2005. And anyways, I remember back in 2008 when Thomas Saz was on the show. I think Bill Rowland did the interview. And I was actually just looking him up on Wikipedia. Turns out that he's about to turn 91 years old shortly, and he's still alive.
I did not know he was that old. I remember him being on the show a few years ago. I did not know he was an octogenarian at the time.
Right. But anyway, I agree with him 100% when he said that the mental illness thing was a social construct. And long story short, I put together some thoughts that both I and he had. And here's I guess, an eggshell for us. The purpose of a psychiatric diagnosis is to fictionally implant a fictional problem into a person's head so that he will come back for further treatment and medication, and so that these medical professionals, so to speak, will be credited for having the so-called solution to his problems. What do you think about that?
I've often said that. You know, obviously everyone gets upset from time to time, and I'll use this as an example. And I could be wrong. You know, I'm not going to say I'm the expert on everything, but I think by and large, a lot of the things dealing with depression being a lifelong illness, I have a hard time swallowing it. We can have a debate on the matter, but I do think there is something to be said for the hypothesis that was rendered just then. You know, people going for lifelong treatment for an illness that for some reason can never be cured. We need to have Saz back on the show. I really obviously wasn't prepared to tackle that issue tonight. It's been a while since I wrapped my mind around it, but this is just another reason why this show is what this show is because we really branch out and we cover a myriad of issues across the political spectrum, and that was just one of these shows we've had, and that's a show you're recalling from 3 years ago. But that is something that I've often wondered about, and I'd like to revisit it. And, of course, Saz is one of the best and still of sharp mind, even at such an advanced age. And thank you for calling and jogging my memory about that. We might have to put that on the docket for a forthcoming program.
True. And the reason why I mention that is because, you know, by the same token, racism is a social construct. Basically, it's a definition based on current politics, the key word being current, current politics, and what is determined as being currently social acceptable. You know, it's not really based on any concrete measurement. You can't measure it with a calculator, you know, or a tool. So it's really a social construct, you know.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the people who are always accusing normal folks of being racist are the ones who will say race itself is a social construct. They really got that one backwards. But I think you're dead on in your assessment there. And to repeat myself, I've very much a topic worth revisiting, and I'll have to give Bill a call when I'm on that 7-hour drive from Dallas to Memphis tomorrow and see if we can get something booked up for that. Bill likes to think outside of the box. I know Bill also had, you know, Bill likes to bring guys on that are a little bit not out of the ordinary in a bad way, in a good way, in an enticing way, in a provocative way. Bill, these are the kind of guests Bill tends to bring to my attention. I know Bill also has introduced experts on the Shroud of Turin. You never know. You're always going to get great commentary from Bill. You know that much. But above and beyond that, it's a mixed bag, but it's always interesting, always informative. So I'll give him a call and see what we can work up there. And again, Rocky, thanks for calling in from Florida, my favorite state. And thanks for listening for 6 years going strong.
Last thing before I go, I remember when you had Granny Stokes on the show back in the day, a long time ago.
Oh, that is an old one. Yeah, Brandi Stokes of Charleston, South Carolina. We had her on a day after she was featured on CNN. That was back in 05, had to be 05.
Right, it was. Well, take care, man.
Hey, thanks, my friend. My goodness. Well, that goes to show that what we always say is spot on. We have the most attentive listeners in the world. He's bringing up guests that I've almost forgotten about, and he's just wheeling them off at the snap of the fingers. But a couple of good ones. Brandi Stokes, I do remember that. Listen, if you don't know the interviews to which he refers, you got to go back. It's really, it's a treasure chest. You're digging for gold when you go into our library of archives dating back. This show started in October of 2004. I believe we finally got internet streaming after we found out the show was a hit and we were going to stand the test of time and there's a little popularity building. We got internet streaming and broadcast archives, I believe, in April of 2005. And so, if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can dig all the way back to April 2005. And that caller right there was stretching my memory on a couple of these. But he sure knows his political cesspool. You know, we didn't have political cesspool trivia one night. I'd probably be beaten by some of our listeners. But a couple of great ones there. Of course, I think all of our interviews are pretty fine. But I got to give Bill Rowland a call, let him know that we had a, if he's not listening to the show at home this evening, I mean, we had a caller tonight invoking a few of his oldies but goodies here on the show.
Don't go away.
Not to come up on another commercial break, but I'll tell you what I got for you in the time we have left. After this commercial break, there's my song, ladies and gentlemen, Little Buddy Holly.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. I was thinking there during the course of that last commercial break about who exactly Brandi Stokes was. That was one of the guests we interviewed in 2005. I remember seeing her on the O'Reilly Factor one night, and then we had her on the show the very next night. The previous caller from Florida reminded me of her. I remember now, she was a school teacher in Charleston, South Carolina. That's all I remembered when he brought her name up. But now I remember the rest of the story, a school teacher in Charleston, South Carolina, who was beaten up. She was an elementary school teacher, number one, beaten up by one of her black students. I think a fifth or sixth grade black student beat her up. I guess I can sum up that commentary in one word, and that's, you know, typical, unfortunately. But I am here in Dallas tonight, and passed by on my way in this evening to the hotel, the exit to Irving, Texas, which is, of course, home to the Dallas Cowboys, their brand-new billion-dollar stadium. And one of their team members made the news this week here in Dallas, Dez Bryant. He's one of the most high-profile players on the Cowboys roster. He's a last year was his rookie year. He's a receiver. And this week he was officially banned from a mall here in the Dallas area for refusing to pull up his pants. And this is the story. Off-duty Dallas police officers working security at the North Park Center issued Dallas Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant a criminal trespass warning. According to police reports, Bryant gave a profanity-laced response after he and three friends were asked to pull up their pants. Bryant cursed at officers and said he wouldn't leave until his attorney arrived. After getting his car from valet parking, Bryant sat in the car in a fire lane until friends finally persuaded him to leave. Get this. The plot thickens. He's thrown out of the mall for verbally abusing police officers who asked him to pull up his pants. A police report said, quote, Bryant has had a pattern of behavior at North Park Center involving police officers. According to the police report, Bryant's previous incidents at the mall included a quote-unquote major disturbance at P.F. Chang's, a restaurant, with an unknown female, as well as an episode at the Apple store when a lieutenant had to intervene after Bryant attempted to cut in line. Bryant also received a citation for being parked in the fire lane, according to a police report. So here we go. This is who the media portrays as modern-day role models and heroes. Professional athletes who are no better than common street thugs. This guy, who will be a multimillionaire in a couple of years, a hero, you can buy his poster at the store and hang it up in your bedroom, can't pull up his pants at the mall, or refuses to do so, routinely verbally abuses police officers, cuts in line at stores and causes disturbance. This is all a list of what he's done at a single mall. God only knows what he does at other parts of town that he visits. When reached, the Cowboys said they had no comment on the situation. And the question I ask is this: how many times have we heard these guilty white liberals tell us that the excuse for this type of behavior is because that blacks like Dez Bryant, this million-dollar multi-million-dollar member of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, excuse this behavior because he has been disadvantaged. His people have been oppressed. He is an oppressed multimillionaire. Never mind, you know, even if he wasn't, the welfare, affirmative action, set-asides, and quotas that he'd be entitled to. Okay, but, you know, so concede the argument for a moment, just for argument's sake. Say, okay, they're oppressed, they're disadvantaged, that excuses them from the law. Well, what about Dez Bryant? This is an NFL star who lives in the lap of luxury. What about Michael Vick or any countless number of professional athletes who continue to act like this after becoming millionaires? Economic circumstance doesn't trump nature. Economic circumstance doesn't trump nature, and as we always say, as I've said on CNN, you cannot have a first-world nation with a third-world population, no matter how much money they've got in their pocket. I was very excited this week, transitioning now. I told you it'd be rapid fire. I was very happy this week. Our friends at the SPLC put up this bizarre posting. I had to read it twice just to make sure I was reading it correctly. Now, keep in mind, the SPLC is this lavishly funded. They make Dez Bryant of the Cowboys look like, you know, a food stamp recipient. You know, they have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. But I believe they are self-destructing. Finally, they're self-destructing. They have been thoroughly discredited as a left-wing fundraising hustle by numerous magazines and newspapers, including the Montgomery Advertiser in Montgomery, Alabama, where the SCLC is based, thoroughly discredited. Last week, they claimed that Newt Gingrich was funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars to a hate group. So who was Newt Gingrich? What hate group in the SPLC's eyes was Newt Gingrich subvertly funding? The American Family Association, the perfectly normal mainstream American Family Association. Of course, they're on the hate watch list because they oppose sodomite marriage. And what has the SPLC done lately? There was something else that was just as crazy. I can't remember. I mean, it goes on and on. This is about as crazy as it gets that I've seen out of them. And they've been needling us ever since we've been on the air because they don't like our show. They actually complained to Amazon.com. I guess Amazon.com is going to be a hate group, too. They complained to Amazon that if they sell my book, Racism Schmacism, they should also sell porn. That's what they said. The headline of their article was, Amazon rejects porn but helps white racists publish books. And, of course, I'm a white conservative, so therefore I'm a white racist in their mind. You got to get your handy SPLC, the English dictionary. Racist in their mind is white person. Racism is anything a white person does that they don't like. I mean, you know that. But that was the headline. And it talks about how they sell my book, and they listed a couple of other books on there that they don't like. And this is the thing. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can read all about this. I entitled it, SPLC Upset Amazon Sells My Book Instead of Porn. That's the name of the article. The SPLC claimed that since Amazon.com refused to sell, and these were the examples that they listed. I mean, I always knew that they were a little bit off the reservation in terms of their politics. They were radically far to the left. But they claimed in their own article that since Amazon refused to sell how-to books on child molestation and homosexual rape, that it should also refuse to sell books written by conservative authors like myself. And again, this gripe came only a few days after they accused Newt Gingrich of funding, you know, financing a hate group, so on and so forth. So I don't know, guys. It mentioned the pedophile's guide to, you know, child love or something. I don't have the article in front of me, but I chuckled and put it right up, you know, because I always like to, anytime the SPLC writes about me, I like to put it up, which is fairly often. I actually made mention of the fact that I'm going to speak with my attorney and see if I can legally change my name to Racist James Edwards. You know, that is, instead of James Franklin Edwards, I'm just going to drop the Franklin, which is my middle name, make James my middle name, going to change it all to Racist James Edwards. And then if I could legally change my name to that and trademark it, if I could get royalties every time the SPLC wrote about me and called me a racist, I would have the kind of bank account that Dez Bryant has, let me tell you that, all right? And so I'm excited about the prospect. If I can just trademark the name racist, if I can name myself that, get a little kickback for every time they call me a name, I am going to be in high cotton, boys and girls. So I'll keep you posted. But until then, you know, maybe we can just all hope that Amazon will sell pornography one day and the world will be a better place, and then we can just drop our swords and all live in some sort of great utopian diversity wonderland. But until that day comes, why don't you go and support Amazon, who, much to the chagrin of the SPLC, did not respond to their request for comment. And, of course, my book is still there and doing quite well on Amazon. We've made a lot of money off of racism, schmacism. And if you have not, well, not a lot of money, but for us. Yeah. For me, I do a cartwheel when I get a $25 donation. So a lot to me might not be a lot to the SPLC.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Got to take a break, everybody. Go buy Racism, Schmacism from Amazon.com. And I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Girl, there's a better life for me. If I didn't tell her, I didn't.
welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
The time just goes by too fast on this show, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe we're down to our last 10 minutes of the broadcast tonight. Maybe it's going by a little bit more quickly for me because I'm in unfamiliar surroundings doing the show from a hotel room. It's a little bit of a novelty. But I'm not going to be able to get everything to you that I wanted to get to you tonight. We talked about the member of the Dallas Cowboys being banned here for not pulling up his britches. Told you that the SPLC is upset that Amazon doesn't sell porn. Tiger Woods has a new girlfriend. I'll give you one guess and one guess only as to what color she is. And I was just wondering, is Tiger Woods a white supremacist since he's never dated a black woman? Is he a white supremacist also? Check it out. We did a posting on that as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Don't have the time to get into it this show. But there was one story that I really have to bring to your attention because this is offensive. It's offensive to the rules of fair play. It's offensive to our viewpoint of the world, which is, one of which is, best person for the job gets the job, period. Best candidate, regardless of, creed, race, whatever, best candidate should get the job. Most qualified applicant should get the scholarship. Well, that's not how it is in modern-day America. A very big report was issued by ESPN and Yahoo Sports this week, and the headline was just very straightforward. Some college football players may be mentally retarded. And with all due respect to parents of disadvantaged children, this isn't a knock at that in any way. But what I'm saying is we can't all be everything. I'll never be a professional, swimmer or a sumo wrestler. Everyone can't be everything. Different people have different strengths and weaknesses. Not everyone is going to be a recipient to a scholarship. But you would hope that the people who do receive these scholarships can at least spell their names correctly. Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy, he's a white quarterback, is one of the smartest players in college football. He correctly answered 43 of 49 questions he attempted on the Wonderlic test, which equates to a genius-level IQ based on the formula given by Wonderlic. Now, Wonderlic is basically sort of like an IQ test that it's used. One example of how it's used is that NFL scouts, National Football League scouts, have their, potential draftees take the Wonderlic test because, they want people who obviously have some smarts to them in addition to their athletic prowess. So this year, Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy tested as one of the smartest players in college football, white quarterback at Alabama. Meanwhile, sports-related websites are talking about some of the exceptionally low scores of this year's top NFL draft prospects. This, again, from Yahoo Sports. Two of the NFL's brightest future stars, Louisiana State University cornerback Patrick Peterson and Georgia wide receiver A.J. Green, registered among the five lowest Wonderlic scores of the 330 participants at this year's NFL Scouting Combine. Peterson was one of four prospects who recorded a dreaded single-digit score, which NFL teams often equate with getting their name right. Tying with South Carolina's Chris Culliver with the lowest mark among all defensive backs, as both correctly only answered 9 questions on the 50-question test. They got 9 right and missed the other 41. All three of these guys, it just happens to be a fact, okay, they're black. But I say so much for student athletes. the Wunderlich test results for Patrick Peterson and A.J. Green translate to IQs in the 70s, which is near the mental retardation level. I am not trying to ruffle anybody's feathers, folks, but if you score on an assessment test, you know, below the mentally retarded level, I don't think you should be the recipient of a full ride to college, sports or otherwise. And let me tell you about this Wunderlich test. Let me give you some background on what this is. Wunderlich Incorporated claims that a score of at least 10 points suggests that a person is functionally literate. Keep in mind that these black athletes scored in the single digits, which would make them illiterate. Yet, they're attending college on scholarships. Now, I guess it's racist for you to think twice about that. In fact, though, many would argue that the formula for estimating IQs based on Wunderlich scores is too generous. The questions are far easier than that of a real IQ test. Other estimates of IQ based on Wunderlich scores would actually place these three, you know, student athletes, quote unquote, firmly in the mentally retarded range of 60 to 70 points IQ. And I looked at some of the sample Wunderlich questions that were published by ESPN, and this is just some samples of the questions that a student might face when he's taking this test. Literally, one of them was this: 10, 8, 6, 4, what number is most likely to be the next number in this sequence? So if you start at 10 and you go down 2 each time, 10, 8, 6, 4, well, obviously the next number in the sequence is 2. These are the types of questions that these students couldn't answer. The students that are attending college on a, you know, fully paid scholarship. Others were, you know, similarly spelled words. You had to find a misspelled word. And it's all multiple choice. But there's a chance that some of the questions they got correct, they just, you know, were lucky guesses because it's, you know, you know, four choice, multiple choice. This is offensive to me. I am offended that there are, you know, many applicants out there, you know, busting their behinds trying to get into college. They're making the grades in high school, and they can't get a scholarship because they're eaten up by people like this who don't deserve it by any standard of measurement. But, you know, I guess that's what makes me a racist, is because, you know, that, you know, it offends me that I see stuff like that. Of course, it's not racist at all to think like that. I'm sure that there are some very, you know, intelligent, you know, blacks. They can't get scholarships because they're going, you know, these colleges are rather raking money with, you know, people like this than do what they were intended to do, which was to be places of higher learning. Well, yeah, higher learning, these people, how do they even get out of, you know, grade school? Stuff like that. Got some pretty interesting articles. And, of course, we all know that whites are discriminated against when it comes to getting into the colleges anyway. Same as in jobs, but, you know, this just makes it that much more flagrant. Well, I'm not going to go on. I don't have the time to go on. Pretty interesting articles. I wish I had another hour tonight. I really need another hour. I got so much good stuff here. Listen, I'm going to bring it back to you next week, folks. I promise you. Pretty interesting articles we've been posting at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Well, we always post interesting stuff there. You know that. But the last couple of weeks in particularly, I think the blog has been on fire. Our traffic has been through the roof. And listen, if you find an article there that you like, don't forget to leave a comment. We love the interaction and conversations that take place between our fans on our website, in between the live shows that we bring to you every Saturday night here on Liberty News Radio. If you see an article you like on our website, be sure to leave a comment. Be a part of the team here, and we'll be sure to get those posted. And keep visiting our website every day for more information just like that, which you hear on our show every Saturday night. I was quoted in a major newspaper. This was 2 weeks ago now. I've been so busy here on the show. I'm so busy I can't even revel in my own celebrity. but I was interviewed by the Toledo Blade, and I, you know, much again to the chagrin of the SPLC, you know, CNN, all of these major newspapers are referring to me as I really am, James Edwards, an author and Memphis-based radio host. This is how I was introduced by the Toledo Blade, which is the major newspaper servicing Toledo, Ohio. They called me up to get my opinion on a issue with a racial animus and treated me quite fairly and professionally. Gave me a couple of good quotes, a couple of paragraphs of play there. So thank you. Can't remember the reporter's name now, but, you know, thank you for thinking of me, and thank you for appreciating and respecting our work here in Memphis on the Political Festival radio program. Got that up. I believe I posted it on March the 13th. That was, again, a couple of weeks ago now. I hadn't had time to even make mention of it on the show, but check it out.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
The
Political Cesspool. To learn more about it.
Title is James Edwards quoted in Sunday newspaper profile. We're out of time for tonight, everybody. I'll see you next week. I love you. God bless you.
Politicalcesspool.org.